2 Corinthians chapter 4, but I love to do it, and I love sitting out there, and I am one of these guys that I believe you can see God in His creation, and if you can't, there's something wrong with you. Amen? He's a good God. He put it, and by the way, that's biblical. That's Romans chapter 1. You read Romans chapter 1, you'll find out how right that is. Let me chase a rabbit for a minute. Romans chapter 1 says that the invisible things of God can be clearly seen by those things that are made, okay, by those things that are seen. And even His eternal Godhead, all right, I'm reading it wrong. I've got it, I thought I had it pretty much memorized. Let me read it right so it'll make sense. Romans chapter 1, let's see here. Yeah, here it is. Now I can't even find it. Here it is, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, remember that, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What is the Godhead? Father, the Son, or the Word, and the Holy Ghost. All right? Remember those three. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give it to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, or the heavens and the earth, okay? The heaven, singular. But anyway, in that verse alone, you have a picture of the eternal Godhead seen in the creation. The world that we live in right now is threefold. It consists of time. It consists of space, okay, and it consists of matter, okay? My hands, this Bible, this pulpit, even the air that we're breathing, our molecules, that's matter, that's mass, okay? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you have all three of those there. In the beginning, that shows time. And time is always threefold: past, present, future, okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven. Now you have space. You have the expanse of the universe that we live in. And space is always three-dimensional. You have width, you have length, and you have depth or height. Okay? One, two, three. There it is again. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. Okay, matter is anything that you can feel, smell, touch, hear, or whatever. That's what matter is. A tree is matter, dirt, rocks, even the air, water, anything like that that has atoms in it is matter. And matter comes in three primary forms. Does anybody want to name what they are? Solid, liquid. Yeah, the third one I know more about than practically anybody in this church, I guarantee you. Gas. Bible's right, amen? There is no excuse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 now. The Bible, this is I like this kind of study, and we're going to be in here for a while. I was putting the notes together last night, and boy, I didn't know where to stop. I really didn't. I've got about 5 pages of nothing but Bible verses. Is that too much? Can y'all handle that? Would you rather go to a church that doesn't use the Bible? Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. All right? God is going to raise us up from the dead one of these days. That's what He's saying here. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. Think about that. All things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace, let me ask you a question. How much grace would constitute abundant? I don't think it has an end to it, okay? What was the first Thanksgiving all about? For those of you in Kenya, we're having a Thanksgiving holiday this Thursday. We've been doing that ever since 1620. Okay? That's what we've been doing that. And what happened is that the Puritans, they were Calvinist Baptists. They came over here and settled so they could worship God without the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church, and the Church of England telling them what to do. So they came over here to this new world and established cities, villages, places to live. That first winter that they landed in Boston, or just, not too far from Boston, Massachusetts, Plymouth Rock, about half of them died. Died from disease, died from starvation, died from the bitter cold that went through there. And they were not sure if they were going to make it through the next year. And God sent them a native, an Indian, by the name of what? Come on. What was his name? Starts with a P? No. Squanto. You're thinking of the wrong Indian. You're thinking of Pocahontas. Okay? Squanto, who had been taken as a boy to England, had been educated and had been baptized in the Church of England, and so he knew about Christianity, and he knew that why those guys were there, and he taught them how to hunt, how to fish, how to trap. He taught them how to plant, what seasons, when to plant, so on, and how to do it all. And that next year, when that harvest came in, they had an abundance of it. They had enough to lay in store for the winter. So they decided to invite the Indians. Let me tell you something. Real Bible Christianity does not kill its enemies.
Amen.
Okay, it invites them over for supper. Amen. Because that's what they did. That is what they did. Okay? Muslims kill their enemies and don't invite them over for supper. Okay? But anyway, so they invited them over. And so they put out the spread. They had deer. They had turkey. They had, I don't know, who all knows, probably fish and corn and everything else. They had everything that they needed, and they had a big feast, and they gave thanks to God. It is still a national holiday. And I think you ought to give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. So anyway, you know what? That's going to annoy me to no end. Let me turn that down real quick. Hang on here. There. All right. Anyway, he has abundant grace. Through his abundant grace, he through the thanksgiving of many, see there it is right there, redound to the glory of God. And he said, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. I want you to think about that, because that's what we're going to be talking, that's what I got 5 pages of notes on. It's a good study. This will help you understand why you're saved, how you're saved, what God is doing in you, all right? How God can put up with you, all right? That's what he's showing you. He says, the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Take a look out that window, see that sun shining, okay? Did you know that it came out same time yesterday morning? You didn't see it because it was clouded over and we had rainstorms yesterday morning. Remember that? Then it turned to snow. Okay? But the sun was still out. And it's been doing it every day since when? Yeah, since day 4 of creation. The sun's been coming up every single day. And he said, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now here's, I'm going to give you the gist of this. Understand it. Do not, when you're asking yourself, am I saved? Am I born again? Do I have God living inside of me? Am I going to heaven? You don't look at the outside of either yourself or anybody else. Write that down. Remember that one. The outward appearance of man will fool you every time. All right? It will fool you every time. You look at the inward, the things that are not seen. Well, how can we know that they're there? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Not seen. Evidence of things not seen. I see on the outside. Craig and I, we were talking this morning, Brother Sterling out there, the body's just getting older every day, ain't it? Okay? We look on the outside, we can see the waxing and the waning. We can see the waning of our body. It's going away slowly. All right? But that inward man that we cannot see is being renewed every day. We, a lot of times, we don't pay attention to it. Sometimes we don't even think about it being there. But we have something living on the inside of us. And it's not an alien. Amen. It's not anything like that. And I'll tell you what it is here in a little bit. All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. There's a mate to this path. In fact, there's a lot of them. All right. There's a lot of mates to this idea and this concept. But turn to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. And as you're turning there, remember, the inward man is renewed day by day. So every time the sun comes up, there's that brand new man. Every time the sun goes down and comes back up, there's that brand new man again. All right? It'd be like if you bought a car brand new from the dealership. They just brought it over from the factory. It had only enough miles on it to get it down off of the little cargo trailer they store it on and backed it into the parking spot. That's how many miles it has on. Still smells new. It looks new. There's no dirt in it. And a full tank of gas. And you say, all right, I want that car. You buy that car, and a month later you notice that there's still no mileage on it. You think maybe the odometer is broke, but it's still on the same tank of gas, still smells brand new, and no matter what you do, you cannot make it dirty. And then you go for a year. Same tank of gas. I mean, we're making this up, right? Well, we make it up good. Same tank of gas. It's not dirty. Your kids and grandkids have spilled soda, chocolate bars, and french fries all over it. And yet you go out every morning and find it's still brand new looking. Okay? Nobody's ever bought a car like that. But wouldn't it be neat?
Yeah.
If we could have a car like that. And listen, no matter how much work you put into a vehicle, that thing's going to get old. It's going to wear down. It's going to eventually break down. And it's good for nothing to be trodden under the feet of men. All right? That's what's living inside of you. It is renewed every day. Think about the process that we go through every day. We get up like we did this morning. We get up, slow to get up sometimes. We get up, we get moving around, we start waking up. We start getting our minds a little bit clearer as the morning goes on. How many of you notice that? Okay? And by noon, you're pretty much at your peak. I mean, you're profitable, you're moving well, you're thinking well, and so on. And then as the afternoon goes, you start getting a little bit tired. And then by the evening time comes around, you've got that supper in your belly. And boy, are you really tired. And you go to sleep again. And you sleep. And the next morning, it starts all over again. Same thing all over again. There's a brand new day out here. Okay? Yesterday's gone. Who can change yesterday? Not me. Not you. Yesterday's gone. Today's a brand new day. That's what he's talking about here. God gives us the signs and the examples for us to get wisdom from. This new man is new as the day is new every single day. And the process that we go through is we go throughout the day. We've either done good things or bad things, but probably a combination of both. And when we go to sleep that night, we wake up. There is a brand new day. If you slept all night, didn't wake up, you really don't understand the passage of time. But when you wake up, you sort of know that you have been asleep at least all night. So you have that knowledge, and then they have a brand new day again. Now here's what God said in Lamentations chapter 3. This is why I wanted this to be a blessing to you. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are, and underline this in your Bible, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Two things that it says here that are brand new every morning. It's like buying that new car and it's new every day you go out there. It is God's mercy and God's compassion. Now let's compare ourselves to God, shall we? Okay? We know that there are some things that we get angry over. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Remember that verse? Okay, it's a good verse, isn't it? Because sometimes we go to bed angry and we wake up, we're still angry. We're still mad at somebody. Still not ready to forgive them yet, and so on. It takes time with us. With God, next day, it's over and done with. That's God. That's how He loves us. He gives us brand new mercy every day, brand new compassion every day, and those compassions fail not. They are renewed day by day, just like the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, let me just add this to it. When it comes to God's mercy and God's compassion, that does not just extend or is offered only to Christians. God offers His compassion and His mercy to all people. You believe that?
Amen.
He offers it to them, and it's brand new every day. The things that the most wicked people in this world do, whatever they did, who's making the news this week? Charlie Sheen, that actor, okay, who's got AIDS, and he's been spreading it around all over Hollywood. Good enough for Hollywood, amen? He's been spreading it around everywhere, okay? According to God, God is offering him, he's still alive, God is offering him a mercy and God's compassion to him. Will he take it? I don't know. Wouldn't that be neat? Guy like that. I mean, he's nasty. He's wicked. He's a dope head. He's a drunkard. He's a whoremonger. Okay? And he's got AIDS. Wouldn't it be something if God offered mercy and compassion to him and he took it? Will that be something? Amen? And so anyway, that's how much God loves the world. Gave His only begotten Son. All right? So anyway, this is the sort of the companion verse to 2 Corinthians 4:15 or 16, the inward man is renewed day by day. Whatever you did yesterday, as born-again Christians, you know what I do at night? I go to bed, and I lay there, and I pray. And I confess. And I tell God how sorry and rotten low down I am. Okay, and I beg for God's mercy before I go to sleep. I wake up the next day, all of that's gone. Isn't that neat? Okay, that's a good God. That is a good God. I'll serve Him for that one. All right. So now you see the operation of it. It's renewed day by day. His mercies are new every day. Some people are saying, "Oh, you don't have to repent." I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. Amen. I've been married to Lisa almost 28 years. Has it been 28? Yeah? 28 years. And if I do something stupid, I apologize. Not because she makes me, because I want to. Well, I love her. Okay? I said something wrong, did something wrong, whatever. I apologize. Move on. Psalm chapter 19. I'm going to show you how this works. To show you the process and pictures of the inward man being renewed every day. Now, you have in this body is referred to as the temple. It is the tabernacle of God. I've done a lot of teaching on that. I love talking about that. Don't get me started. But this is literally, in every way, the tabernacle of Almighty God. 24 elders surrounding the throne in Revelation 4. I've got 24 ribs robed in white surrounding the throne, which is the heart. All right? Here is the tabernacle of God. So in Psalm chapter 19, it's one of my favorite places in the Bible because I like outer space. I like stars and I like looking at the moon and I like to know as much as I can about all that. All right? I like to look at Hubble Space Telescope pictures when they come in. That sees things man has never seen since the creation. We're seeing things now, we're just going, how did that all just pop up into existence? It didn't. God made it. And it'll tell you that. The heavens declare, Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament sheweth His handiwork. See, that's how you can see clearly the beauty of God and His working and His power in the heavens. You can see it in the earth. You go out at night, look at the stars. I don't see how you don't believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
So, and then he says, verse 2, day unto day utter speech. Now I want you to notice that. Day unto day. from one day to the next day. There's something there that God's trying to teach you. And this is a match to the inward man ideology or idea. That inward man is renewed every day. The day is renewed every day. Now watch this. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge, from one night to the next. Verse 3, there's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Can you show me a place on the planet where they do not know about the sun, moon, and the stars? Everybody does. It hits everybody, right? So he says, there's no voice, no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth. I got to throw this in. It says their line, all right? That is a Bible term for the verses in your Bible. Okay? When Isaiah teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept, it is verse here and a verse there. That's where how we understand the Bible. And he says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Has anybody ever heard of the word universe?
Yes.
Does anybody know what it means? Yeah, it's real simple. Uni means one verse. Think about it. I'm using that term. The whole universe is called the universe, and it literally means one verse, one line, one word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
Okay? Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Look at this now. He's talking about the heavens. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. The heavens are a tabernacle, just like my body is a tabernacle. And it's the tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom. Who is that? That's Jesus. Amen. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Do you remember the day that the sun arose in your tabernacle and you saw yourself in the light of God's gospel and you decided you needed to be saved because you were going to burn in hell for all of eternity? You remember that day, Craig? Amen. Remember that day? That was the sun rising with healing in his wings. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He enlightens mankind. We're children of the day. So here is the sun, and the Bible says that God made the heavens a tabernacle for the sun. And what direction? What direction is that over there where that sun is? What direction is that? That's east. What's over here? West. All right, now watch this. God was so particular about this. When they set the tabernacle up in the wilderness, they set it up in a certain way. It had to be facing east-west, and the sides of it were north side and south side. So that when the high priest on the Day of Atonement went into the tabernacle, he came from the east. And the most holy place was on the west. And he goes from the east to the west, and when he puts the blood on the mercy seat, sprinkles it seven times for the atonement of sins, he's in the west. What do we know the sun? What does the sun do in the west?
It sets.
It sets. Think about Christ now as the high priest. And at about the time of the setting of the sun, he cried, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. And the sun went down. But then it came back up. Amen?
Amen.
I love this Bible. Amen. Anyway, I got into it with flat earth people again last night. You cannot, if you have a flat earth idea, you cannot have a sunrise and a sunset. Doesn't exist. Okay? Anyway, I won't get into that. But here's what he's teaching you. Every day teaches us the working and the nature of Almighty God. It teaches us about the high priest going into the most holy place and applying the blood of the covenant, of the atonement, as the sun is going down. Here's Christ doing the exact same thing. Here is day into day uttering speech. Here is God's mercies becoming brand new every single day. God put us in the vanity of time to teach us this wonderful, valuable lesson. All right? Now, go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, very quickly, and then we'll move on from this idea. But I want you to see the typology, see the example of it. The inward man being renewed every day. It's renewed as the morning. It's renewed as the daytime. You will have cycles of life. You will have them. You are having them. You have had them. You will have cycles in your walk with Jesus Christ. You will have them. When God first began to teach me that, I needed it. Because I kept wondering why some days you couldn't get me away from the Bible and from the Word of God. And then some days I just ain't feeling it. And I had somebody ask me, does it ever stop? You know, once you're saved, you ever get to a point where there's no more cycles? No. No, not until the new heaven and the new earth comes. We're going to go in those cycles. We're going to have waxing. We're going to have waning. We're going to have, just like out here, all the leaves are gone. And when I walked out the house last night, put some stuff in the van, the grass was already crunchy at 9:30 last night. Okay, that's ice on that grass. Very, very cold this morning. Nothing grows, okay, except for a few weeds every now and then. That's the cycle we're in right now. The time of the harvest and the fruit bearing is over with. Okay? And if there's any apples left on the trees, they got destroyed last night with the bitter cold. But we know that time is coming around. Lisa got in the car this morning going, "Oh, I want it to be April." She don't like it. It will be. April's coming again. Amen? It'll come back around. And every year we go through the same thing. Every day we go through the same thing. We go through cycles of life. Trees go through cycles. That's, you cut them in half and see those rings there. You can count how many years old that tree is. You just cut it in half and count the rings. A lot of times you can even tell in those rings. You can tell when there was a lot of rain one year because them rings are going to be thick. You can tell when it was a drought because there's not going to be much of it there. The tree is surviving, but it's not doing much. Does that sound familiar? The tree is surviving, but it's not doing much else. Okay? And yet that tree survived. It made it. Okay? We had a pretty good drought going from like July all the way through into October. Now that drought's gone. We've had rain and rain and rain, and we've had plenty of it. Okay? But that's what he's teaching you. God is teaching you through the things that are seen in this world, his eternal power in Godhead, his nature, how he works in our lives. Don't let anybody tell you that you can say a prayer or perform some ritual and God will take away everything that hinders you or bothers you in your life and you'll never have to deal with it again. Don't let anybody, that's a trap, people. Because when those things come back around, and they will, you'll either realize that person told you a lie, or you'll believe what they tell you. Obviously, you're not doing something right for God. That's why these things are back again. Obviously, it's your fault. Don't fall into that stuff. Okay? And this is how God had to help me with this. He had to show me, Mike, you're not going to feel spring brand new all the time. You're not going to feel that way. You're not going to be that way. There are cycles. Okay? Just like the river running down into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. What happens to it? It's picked up, turns into clouds. Clouds turn into rain, goes right back to the rivers again. It's been doing that ever since day 3, day 4, somewhere around in there. It's been doing that ever since then, of the creation. We are God's creation. Amen? We are going to have seasons. We're going to have times when we're going to be fruitful. All right? In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, very quickly, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, notice in your King James Bible, capital S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. Then you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And think about that. What does it mean you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall? When the calves grow up, they turn into bulls and cows. Amen. Bulls and cows know the birds and the bees. Amen? They didn't have to have it taught to them in fifth grade.
Amen.
Stupid. Anyway, bulls and cows know the birds and the bees, and what happens? The bull and the cow will initiate that cycle once again. And a few months later, she'll give birth to that calf, and that calf will grow up in the stall. And then when he's old enough, you let him out. And then what happens? He grows up to be a bull or a cow. And it's been going on ever since. Amen?
Amen.
What's good? I like this. So, let's say, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I have this divided up. I don't have it on a screen, except unless you're watching at home. Michael's got it up there. How does this inward man begin? What is the process? Y'all come on in. How does the inward man start? All right? Think about this. We talked about the bull and the cow, the birds and the bees. They all know how it works. They don't understand much else, but they understand that. The reason why deer season is when it is right now is that the hope, and you saw that, didn't you? Bucks and does. Bucks chasing does. Okay? They know about the cycle of life. Okay? At a certain time every year, bucks are chasing does. And then, a few months later, I don't know how long it is, but a few months later, little bitty baby deer are born all over the country. All right? And that is supplying us with fresh meat, most of us. Okay? So anyway, that's how it works. All right? So, but how does that begin? How does it start? What initiates that? Next spring, if you're going to plant a garden, you go out, you till it up, and then you take the seed, and you put it in the ground, and then you cover it up. And we're trusting that the rain, see, the spring rains come, water that ground, that sun's coming out, the days are getting longer, so it's got plenty of sunlight to soak up. And at some point, all of a sudden, they start shooting up out of the ground. He's teaching you how this works. How are you saved? And I'm telling you, and I firmly believe this, you are not saved outside of the Bible saving you. And that's just it, okay? And I'll show you that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He said, this is how the inward man begins. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When God saves somebody, He plants the seed of the Word. We know this from the parable of the seed and the sower. The seed is the Word. Here, Peter's given a double witness to it. The seed is the Word. By the way, every seed that's planted in the ground has a book in it. Every one of them has a book called DNA. It is an instruction code of everything about that plant. What it looks like, how tall it grows. I just asked God that question one day. God, how did the trees know when to stop growing? Because if you look, you know, you go around, there are trees, I guess at some point, they don't get any higher. They like the rest of us, they just get fatter. Okay? Okay? They don't grow this way anymore. Well, you should have seen me when I was about 19 years old. I look like John. Okay? That was a long time ago. Yeah, I'll hush. But those trees, I asked God, how do those trees, you look out over the top of the woods, all those trees are the same height. God, how do they know that? God wrote it out.
Amen.
He wrote it in a book. It's in their DNA, all right? I love this stuff. So the seed is planted in you. The Word is planted in you. The Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God. So if you're out planting radishes and you've got a bunch of radish seeds in your hand and you drop them in the ground and you cover them up, by mistake, there was a carrot seed in there. Okay? By mistake. And all of a sudden now you're going to look out at your radishes and you're going to see a little carrot leaves and radish leaves are different, aren't they? You can tell them. You spot them. Okay? What happened? The seed... the wrong seed was put in. And whatever seed it is, that's what's coming out of it.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, and that's evident. Okay? My children take on the nature and the characteristics of Lisa and I both. We can see ourselves in them. I can even see some of my ancestors in some of my children and my grandchildren. My sister swears up and down that her new grandson looks just like me. Okay? I had nothing to do with that, okay? But he's from the same line. Milton D. Hoggard and Jesse D. Hoggard and Jesse Hoggard above him. I don't know how many Jesse Hoggards there were above that one, but there was a bunch of them. But they're all part of that line. That's why he has the similarities of me, all right? And it's all determined by the seed. And when you are sowing into your mind corrupt seed, don't be surprised at the fruit that you get from it. Do not be stunned and, God, I don't know where this came from. Yeah, you do. You sowed it. Amen? Boy, that's good. I'm not ready yet. Hang on. Let's read all of this, and then we'll think about it for next week. How does the inward man begin? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If the word abides forever, so does God's grace and his mercy in that inward man that conceived, was conceived by that word. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I've got 20 things in my mind right now on how to teach this. I want to say all of them. Let me just say this. We are that grass. Okay? When grass grows, it produces seed, but then it withers. The seed is its way of perpetuating itself. All right? Now you follow this. The word goes into us. That word does not cause our flesh to not age and go away and wither. It does not cause that. Okay? Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. When this is dead in the ground, this is going to, that what's in me springs forth and it lasts forever. There is no need to reproduce after the resurrection, is there? Because the people are going to live forever. We reproduce now because we know we're going to die. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 5. Okay? So anyway, and then think about this. Okay? The word of the Lord endureth forever. They wrote, and I may touch on this more next week, they wrote the original writings of the Bible on a type of paper called papyrus. That's where we get the word paper from. And they took these long reeds, these grass reeds, and they had many layers to them, and they would take it and cut it, and they would split it down the middle and take all the layers and weave them together. And they would set that out and let it dry, and that was their paper. When Isaiah writes, and this is from Isaiah chapter 40, I think, when Isaiah writes this out on this papyrus, it had to be copied numerous times because we do not have that papyrus that Isaiah wrote on. It does not exist. Why? Because it was made of grass. But the word that was written on that survived. It survived the next copy. It survived the copy after that. And it's still with us to this very day. Do you believe that? That's what it says right here. Okay? And some of it was written on vellum, which is animal skin. Flesh is grass in this case. The flesh faded away too. But the word did not. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that the original Bibles was the only one inspired and perfect and all of the rest of them are corrupt and we don't have a perfect Bible. Don't let anybody tell you that nonsense. Amen? Amen. That's a lie. Father in heaven, God, we don't want to believe lies. We want to know the truth, God. Teach us, Lord, great mighty things that we know not. Teach us these truths, God, on how, Lord, you saved us, how that inward man works. God, how is it, Father, that though we are yet still in this flesh, we have the most holy thing living on the inside of us. God, show us how that works, God, and give us encouragement, Lord, to continue on to understand you. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Glad I came to Sunday school today. Amen.